Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got an important town hall meeting taking place in Malta, Montana this afternoon, later today. I was glad I saw this update from the Montana Stock Growers Association yesterday. And so coming up here in just a few minutes, we're going to get a phone call from Jennifer Patrick, who is with the Milk River Joint Board of Control, talking about, of course, just this massive irrigation project, the Milk River project, and of course that big failure that we had, a couple weeks or so before the 4th of July holiday. So we want to get the update on that, get some of the information out that's going to be coming up in the town hall meeting this afternoon. So Jennifer Patrick will be with us here in just a couple of minutes. For the rest of the hour, we're going to be taking your phone calls. We've got John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, sidekicking with us here this morning. In fact, for the quick opening few minutes here, first off, John, great to see you. Thanks for joining us this morning. Always a pleasure.
Good morning.
Looking at a couple of headlines here, so we're going to talk about this, you know, Milk River Joint Board of Control town hall meeting here in just a few minutes. And then there's another headline. This was in the DOD Early Bird this morning. There's also a headline on At the Electric, which is a blog out of Great Falls. DOD certifies Sentinel program to continue despite cost overruns. But I just look at these two massive projects. Just here in Montana alone, the DOD Sentinel program, that's the replacement for all of our nuclear missiles here in Montana. And it's like, okay, take your sweet little time, Biden administration. Oh, it's costing way more money now because they're taking their sweet little time with this. And, you know, they'll throw some Air Force officer under the bus when it's their administration that's slowing everything down. And then we've got, you know, this massive infrastructure project that had this big failure last month. And it's like, oh, take your sweet little time fixing that. But they had all the money in the world for Ukraine and illegal aliens and everybody else.
Let me ask you something. If you went to a doctor and four times in a row the guy makes you sicker or gives you horrible advice and gives you terrible medicine, would you go back to that doctor for a fifth time? Same with a lawyer. You go to a lawyer four times in a row, and he gets you convicted or thrown in jail or he loses your cases for you. Would you go back to him the fifth time? Well, here we are as U.S. citizens going back to the government for the 5,000th time over 58 years saying, here's more of our money. Spend it wisely this time. You know, it's just utterly ridiculous.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, John, you know, you're talking about, would you go back to a doctor if that doctor kept failing you? You know, Whoopi Goldberg doesn't care if her doctor poops his pants. She is going to keep going back to that doctor.
She's had poopy days, Aaron.
She's had poopy days. Yeah. You guys missed the view yesterday. Great soundbite. It's real. She actually said that. All right. Let's get to some important information about this town hall meeting right after this, and then we'll get back with the Joker following that segment.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, looks like we're still awaiting a phone call here from Jennifer Patrick with the Milk River Joint Board of Control. They've got that town hall meeting today, 4 o'clock this afternoon at the Tin Cup Golf Course in Malta. Discussing the recent St. Mary's siphon failure. So they're going to talk about possible temporary solutions, water deliveries, water demands, next steps moving forward, et cetera. So anyway, as we await her phone call, John, there might be some folks who weren't in on our little inside joke there. They probably hadn't heard this clip from The View yet. So I better play it for them because, if you missed it, Whoopi Goldberg was on The View yesterday and she says, look, I don't care. I'm voting for Joe Biden no matter what. She doesn't care how much these guys and their policies have crapped the bed in the last 3 to 4 years. She's still voting for Joe Biden.
I don't care if he's pooped his pants. I don't care if he can't put a sentence together. Show me he can't do the job, and then I'll say, okay, maybe it's time to go. Now, he had a bad night the first time that he went out and debated with Kamala Harris. And everybody wanted him to quit that and say, you can't talk to women like this. Or, you're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. He came back, said, you know what? I got it. And gave 4 years. So, yeah, I have poopy days all the time.
Yeah, there you go. So for those who weren't in on the inside joke, now you are. Now you're part of the posse. You're part of the crew here. So what's interesting is John Tester finally came out with a statement. Liberal Senator John Tester finally came out with a statement. Remember, John Tester has said that Joe Biden is 100% with it and that he's doing a good job as president. Now, after everybody who watched the debate saw with their own eyes that this wasn't cheap fake videos, that this was Joe Biden real time bombing it. But yet, even still, with this prepared statement that Tester just came out with yesterday, didn't take any questions, certainly wouldn't take any tough questions, he is still standing by Joe Biden. He still didn't call on Joe Biden to step down. So John Tester is still with his boy, Joe Biden, kind of like Whoopi. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times, it doesn't matter if he poops his pants, he's still going to be with him.
Aaron, you've done that to me twice now. You know, once an hour, you're hitting me with it. I tell you, I mean, really, I can't take, you know, the first hour, my IQ points dropped about 20 and my manhood shrunk again. Now, you did it to me again. I'm going to walk out of here like permanently disfigured if I have to listen to that clip one more time. Oh, my God.
We can go all day, Prowitz. We can go all day. Left, half right. You know,
you were talking about Tester. See, like I say on your show just about every week, is that what Tester and the Democrats count on is you being stupid, is you not knowing what they're doing. He's going to come back here that fifth year of every 6 years of his term and come back here and put on his Carhartt jacket and show you his seven fingers and tell you he's just a good old boy rancher if I'm Big Sandy. Right.
Oh, man. Yeah. But the other story that I wanted to get to with you here this morning. There's so much ground that we can cover, obviously, but I think, you know, you kind of touched on this via Twitter, but it seems like now the Democrat Party insiders are actually starting to kind of coalesce around Joe Biden, that they're not going to try to replace him. They're afraid that the wheels would totally come off. But Chicago, let's talk Chicago. They were already expecting a bloody summer in Chicago because of all their radical Antifa, pro-Hamas terrorist protesters out there. I don't see Chicago. Talk about a bloody week. They just had like 58 people shot or killed in Chicago last week alone during the 4th of July holiday. I don't see how Chicago doesn't turn into an all-out chaotic train wreck this summer for the Democrat National Convention.
Aaron, could you say that in like a softer tone and kind of whisper it to me with some romantic music in the background? Because that was just awesome.
And a whoopee.
Say that again about Chicago being in chaos. Say it again. Soft, dulcet tones, please. Yes.
This is music to your ears,
it
I take.
I love it. Please, please.
Bring it to the blue cities. They voted for their own demise. Yeah, I still love Chicago. I just feel so bad for the people of Chicago. But then again, you know, until they change these bad habits, he's kind of going to get the same outcomes. So yeah, it's really really tragic.
Enjoy. Good luck. Take a big old bite. Yeah, you voted for it. Have at it.
But I mentioned the cheap fakes videos, and it looks like we got Jennifer Patrick on the line. Jennifer, we'll get to you right after the break, since we're just about pushing up to our next break here. So thanks for calling in. literally 2 days before the debate, Corinne Jean-Pierre is lecturing all of us. Oh, those videos that John Jackson and Aaron are talking about, those are just cheap, fake videos. Even though it was raw, unedited video footage. And they lied on behalf of Joe Biden all the way up until debate night. And they're not talking about cheap fake videos anymore, are they?
And turn on a dime. You guys, you and I were talking about that at the break. Just 2 weeks ago, you and I were talking about that on your show about how they were accusing us of all this stuff being cheap fakes. And every single person in the media picked up that ball and ran with it, accusing the conservative media and the conservative pundits of running cheap and fake videos on them. Basically, that it's some AI fakery. And then they all turn on a dime. Days later.
Oh yeah, who is the who's the CNN doctor? Is it Sanjay Gupta?
Was Sanjay, it Sanjay, Sanjay Gupta?
Was it Sanjay Gupta or was it another guy? Anyway, the same guy who was saying, "Oh, come on, this is just, you know, so outrageous that they would dare suggest that Joe Biden has cognitive problems." He was on CNN yesterday. Well, obviously he needs to undergo some cognitive testing and he needs to be checked for this and checked for that.
Unbelievable.
How the world turns. Yeah.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll get back to joking around with the Joker here in just a few minutes here on Montana Talks. Plus, we'll get back to your phone calls, 406-294-0970. If you want to get in the queue, you can call in right now. But, I mentioned that we're going to talk about this very important town hall meeting taking place this afternoon in Malta, Montana, 4 o'clock at the Tin Cup Golf Course, the Milk River Joint Board of Control inviting you to a community meeting to discuss the recent St. Mary siphon failure. Jennifer Patrick with the Joint Board of Control on the phone lines with us right now. Jennifer, thanks for calling in, especially kind of last minute to get out this important information.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I caught up with you briefly during the break. You said that is the $70 million question. There's going to be lots of questions that are going to be brought up and hopefully answered at the town hall meeting today. But the $70 million question apparently is, can they do a total replacement of the St. Mary siphon? And if so, how quickly could they get that up and running?
Yeah, I think, you know, the $70 million, as I said, question was, do you move forward with a full replacement, or do we look at interim solutions, small water deliveries, things like that? And so that tonight will be a very detailed discussion, also with the next year's water deliveries, this year's water deliveries, and so that, you know, hopefully reclamation covers each one of those. They are covering each one of those in depth, but that's where we're hoping to drive the conversation tonight, is replacement or a short-term solution.
I think I first heard the term from my friend Jeff Pattison in Glasgow that it's the lifeline to the High Line. I imagine it's maybe been used before as well, but I was just looking at some of the numbers about the Milk River project from your website here. 1 million people fed annually because of this irrigation project. You got 140,000 acres of irrigated lands, 700 plus farms. It really is the lifeline to the High Line. What are some of the biggest questions that you are hoping gets tackled at the town hall meeting this afternoon?
Replacement or a short-term solution. What this irrigation season finishes out, what it looks like, and then how do we move into 2025 irrigation season? If we're looking at, say, a full replacement, where does that put us? What does that look like? And then moving forward into the complete full rehabilitation if the Fort Belknap compact came through. So a lot of those are questions that, you know, everyone has. So we're not in this situation again, because we were here in 2020 with a failure. We're here now with a failure. And so how do we get past this big milestone of failures. I mean, you'll always have little ones, but these big ones that stop water deliveries to the entire High Line, we've got to get past those.
Yeah, especially I think about today. Wow, I mean, you look at the timing. You know, we've had a cool and a wet June by and large, but boy, the heat is kicking in starting today, where we're going to get into the 90s and some parts of the state maybe even hitting triple digits, and so raises even more concern. So let's say the project full replacement may not even take place till, you know, the end of summer 2025. I understand that may be one of the estimates. What do we do in the meantime?
Yeah, that's the question. At what cost do we put in temporary solutions? You know, they've looked at pumping, they've looked at rehabilitating the, you know, one of the pipes that's there. And, you know, we also have to look at, we're looking at these temporary solutions on a 100-year-old pipe that you might put into back into service, but what is the risk that you're putting on that? You know, does it last for the season? Does it not? We had a failure on the other side. And so there's a lot of things that you have to weigh. Even if you got temporary water across, you know, what if something else happened in the system? And so, you know, a lot of people are going to have to take that into account before they make those decisions too.
Who all is going to be in the house for the town hall meeting in Malta today? I understand the Bureau of Reclamation. Who all is going to be there to hopefully tackle some of these questions?
Yeah, so, you know, we'll have Bureau of Reclamation. We'll have the regional and area manager that'll be there, the engineers that do the day-to-day stuff. There'll be one of the hydrologists that run all of the water operations for the milk. So they will be the main panel. And then we'll also have our state, DNRC, State of Montana, that will be there for questions, NRCS, USDA, you know, because there are farm programs, DES, there are emergency programs. And so afterwards, after the presentation and kind of where we're at and what decisions, then let's talk about where we go, where are crop losses, where are we moving to in 2025? What does this look like? You know, can we expedite pipe transfer? Can we expedite a bunch of things? And so once the decision is made, how fast can we move forward on that decision? So,
what's your biggest fear? And likewise, what are you most optimistic about?
Ooh, right now I'm too stupid to have any fears of it.
Ignorance is bliss.
that's exactly. Ignorance is bliss right now, and that would be the best. You know, we have great partnerships up there, Blackfeet Tribe, State of Montana, federal government. You know, they have been wonderful. Landowner that's there, huge impacts to him, has been wonderful. And so, you know, I don't have a ton of fears. As long as we can get that pipe on site, we have great Montana contractors that have all reached out and are willing to help. It's just how we put the pieces together, depending on what solution is selected, and then moving forward. And so, you know, I have faith in a lot of these guys that we're looking at bringing up there, if we have a short-term or a long-term solution that will bring back water, because they all realize it. I mean, this is essentially the top half of the state of Montana. And so I think we have good partnerships, and so I'm not super afraid of anything there. The money, the price tag, that's, you know, the biggest question mark right now.
Yeah, which is, my kind of commentary on that, which is just so crazy to me. I mean, we see money flying out the door to all these other countries, all these other places, illegal aliens and everything, and it's like, oh, well, let's see if we'll get enough money to fix this thing for the short term and for the long term, frankly. But I understand, that's just me kind of opining there. What's your pitch again for this important town hall meeting, and thanks for putting this together, because I know, you know, we talked about it a few times last month. And I know folks are, we got farmers, ranchers, folks who rely on this project for drinking water more. Everybody's very concerned. So thanks for putting this whole thing together.
For sure. Yeah. So tonight, or this afternoon, I guess, at 4:00 at the Tin Cup Golf Course. And there is a link on our website. Our website is milkriverproject.com. If you click on our website, you can sign up for Zoom access also. So it will be Zoomed. So I would check that out. But other than that, I, you know, jump on or get online and you know, if you have any questions, please put them in the chat or send them to me before, and we can get those questions answered by the panel as well.
That's great. And I'd imagine since it's going to be streamed live on Zoom, maybe there'll be a recording available afterwards. Maybe we can play some of that audio on the radio tomorrow, and other folks who might be tied up this afternoon can go back and access it as well. Jennifer Patrick, yeah, thanks so much for calling in for this important update. Anything else that we missed that you want to get out there across the state of Montana?
Not that I can think of, no.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for your efforts. Thanks for joining us on the show. And yeah, definitely let us know if you need to come back on to get out any other important information.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for calling in. All right. Yeah, John, actually, you know, I mean, this like totally ties in with kind of some stuff that you and I have been talking about for quite some time now, right? Which is, I mean, because that's, again, me just being just little old guy here, radio host sitting in a studio tower. It's like, why can't we have a short-term fix and a long-term fix? And it's like, oh, all of a sudden money's a concern with our federal government. Boy, it sure hasn't seemed like money's been a concern anywhere else. I mean, you know, if you're some, you know, mask-wearing pro-Hamas protester on these college campuses, they'll pay off your student loans. They've got money for a drag queen story hour in Ecuador. We've got VA claims workers helping illegal aliens with health care claims while our own veterans aren't getting the full help that they need. It's like, oh, all of a sudden money's a concern when it's something we need.
They've got $200 billion for Ukraine. They've got how many billions to house in hotels and give daily stipends to illegals all over the country. But if the people actually need something done, a piece of critical infrastructure, all right, then it's poor mouth. You get the poor mouth.
Well, it reminded me, you know, this was a point that Tim Sheehy made in the debate, the first debate put together by the Montana Broadcasters Association between John Tester and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. And John Tester was just sitting there bragging about all the money that he's given to all these other countries, and Tim's like, we have priorities here in America that need to be made in America first. And there was John Tester just bragging about all this money that was going everywhere else. And this isn't the first time we've had this infrastructure failure.
And that's a very, very important point that Tim made right there, is listen to what the man said. He's telling you he gave your tax money away to other people while we're $35 trillion in debt.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, now you're spending more on gas to fuel up your vehicle. Now you're, so if you got to haul water, it's going to be more expensive because of the gas prices right now. And oh, by the way, your groceries cost a lot more because of all this massive government spending, and yet the government spending isn't being targeted where it's truly needed right here in America. And we're literally watching things crumble, literally and figuratively, right before our own very eyes.
Like you just said earlier about here in Billings, about the building codes, and people don't want to build here because of the government. That, turn over every rock of a problem, and that's what you find at the root of it, is the government.
Red tape slowing things down. I mean, that's why Donald Trump, he was a builder, he was a contractor. Get the project done, get it done on time. But yet, cost overruns, take your sweet little time, federal government. All right, let's get to your phone calls right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
This week, cattlemen and women from across the nation are gathered here in San Diego, California for the Cattle Industry Summer Business Meeting, helping set direction for the future of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, creating policy for their policy book. Jim Steinbeiser is a Sidney, Montana rancher and vice president of Region 5 for the NCBA. And he says policy creation is the backbone of the organization.
That drives what we do, Lane. That is, this is the meat and potatoes of this organization. It drives what our staff does. It drives what leadership does. And we'll be talking about policy at our caucus meeting. Just getting everybody on the same page. Hopefully we can all support it. Or if we got questions, we can talk about those before we talk about it at committee meetings tomorrow.
Steinbeiser added that the U.S. Supreme Court recently overturning the Chevron deference is also a big win for cattle producers.
Yeah, that's a huge win for us, Lane. This is going to really help curtail regulations for our industry and for many industries throughout the nation. Congress will have a little more pressure now. If they want to make some tough decisions, they got to do it themselves through lawmaking, not give it to agencies to make those tough decisions.
That was Sydney's Jim Steinbeiser. Reporting from San Diego, I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. Yeah, and I appreciate everybody's patience wanting to be in on the open phones portion of this show, but we thought we were going to start this show talking about that town hall meeting today, and then but then we had to sneak it in there just in the last few minutes. So apologize for the delay, but yeah, phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. Let's go to Annie in Billings. Annie, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning. I'd like to put a big shout out with all the bad things that's going on in this world about an amazing vet clinic that saved my puppies last night that doesn't do normally after hours calls, and that's Caring Hands Veterinarian, and that's Dr. French and Dr. Maxted and Dr. Heron. So a big thank you and a shout out and a big thanks from our community for always being there for us that are pet lovers, and thanks again.
Hey, well, that's very cool. Yeah, well, hey, I like this idea, too, of doing shout-outs. Yesterday, I had some battery questions, like about vehicle batteries and things like that. And, you know, do I set up a second battery? You know, how do I do the trickle charge if I'm not, you know, not using my battery during the winter or whatever? So I stopped in at the batteries and bulbs in Billings, and there was a guy, Dave, right behind the counter. And, man, this guy just knew everything. He's writing charts on sticky notes. He's showing me this. He's showing me that. And so, you know, it's like, you know, anymore, you know, you get less and less used to just solid, good customer service. So, yeah, I think when you see good customer service anymore these days, you want to, you know, give a shout out, don't you, Annie?
Absolutely, and we just need more of that in our world. So thanks again to Caring Hands and those new docs that are there, and just a big thank you from our community for them.
Yeah, and then I got to give a shout out also to Wes over at Brett's RV and Marine. This guy is always, if I ever have a question about, you know, camper things or boat things, get a hold of Wes, and he just knows everything. He's there in their parts department and close to their service department. So when I first bought my camper, he was the guy that gave us our initial walkthrough and pointed everything out to us. And so, yeah, big shout out to Wes there at the Lockwood location for Brett's RV and Marine. Let's see. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Rock calling in from the middle of nowhere. Rock, what's going on?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I've got a little bone to pick with all the talk show hosts. You guys keep calling it a democracy. And what's happening is people are getting that in their brain. And we are not a democracy. I like the lady that called in and called it a constitutional republic, which it is.
Yeah.
We need to get away from that narrative of democracy because, you know, the left's always going, oh, he's a threat to democracy. He's a threat to democracy. But it's not a threat to democracy because we are not a democracy. And I was at a school board meeting over when I was living over in Belgrade, and I was at a school board meeting, and they brought that up and kept calling it democracy, and I called them out on it. And one guy that was sitting in front of me turns around and goes, oh, what's the difference?
Well, Hillary, you know what? Quoting Hillary. What difference does it make?
What difference does it make? And it makes a huge difference. So anyway, let's try to change our narrative and call it what it really is.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's why I've said the word republic, I think, about a million times in the last 6 months. So I'm with you on that one, Rock. Yeah, we've made that point repeatedly, but you got to keep doing it, right? That's why there's radio advertising, because people have to hear things over and over again until it finally sinks in. If I use the word democracy anymore, it's because I'm actually mocking them. Because obviously we are a constitutional republic, and you know we function as a democracy. We vote in elections, but that's why we're a republic, because to limit mob rule. But every time they say democracy, have you noticed they like have this shriek about it, John?
Democracy! That's democracy!
As they literally throw their political opponents behind bars. Steve Bannon is a political prisoner right now. for defying one of their subpoenas. But they get to defy congressional subpoenas all day long. Peaceful pro-life protesters are being put behind bars. Which reminds me, your boy, your buddy, Lex, what'd you call this? Lipstick Lex Luthor.
There he is.
Lipstick Lex Luthor. You guys remember this guy? Sam Brinton. He's the dress-wearing, top-secret security clearance-holding former Obama nuclear official. Biden nuclear official. He's the guy who he has a bald head. He's got like the Bruce Willis bald head, bright red lipstick, a creeper mustache, and ladies' dresses on. He is the guy who got busted for stealing women's luggage off the baggage line at the airport.
Numerous occasions.
Yeah. MRC TV had the headline of the day yesterday. Biden's panty heister avoids prison for the third time in luggage theft case. So panty heister guy, Lipstick Lex Luthor, he gets off. Okay, that sounds bad. Not held accountable, but by golly, if they can come after you, they will target you. But yet they shriek the word democracy.
Hey, breaking news, bro! Breaking news. Now you were whispering sweet nothings in my ear last hour. I'm going to do the favor and get you all excited here. Coming out of their big caucus meeting up there an hour ago.
Breaking
Democrats.
News. Yeah,
they're walking out, so the media is grabbing them, and Chad Pergram is reporting that they're saying there is no consensus about what to do about Grandpa Joe. Jake Sherman is reporting that the attitude is like a funeral. And then another guy says, not only aren't we on the same page, we're not even in the same book. Now, Travis, cue up some romantic music right there for that right there, because that is beautiful.
So, yeah, they were supposed to have their big close. So Senate Democrats were having their big meeting to discuss whether Joe Biden should remain their nominee or not. And then they called that meeting off. So this is breaking news. John's tracking it all via Twitter, and they've all just come out. And yeah, not only are they not on the same page, they're not even on the same book. The soundbite that I'm looking for right now, John, it was Scott Jennings. He was on CNN. Where the heck is it? I had it ready to roll yesterday. But he was making the point. You know, when Joe Biden did this interview with George Snuffleupagus, he was asked, well, what if you lose? What if you lose? If you remain the nominee and Democrats lose, you're going to be responsible for Donald Trump being the president once again. And Biden's response was basically, yeah, but, you know, at least I tried. And it won't be that big of a deal. And Scott Jennings made the point. These guys have been saying that if Trump gets elected, it's the end of democracy. Their words, not ours. But yet Joe Biden just admitted that he lied about that, too, that it has nothing to do with the future of democracy or freedom or anything. It's about him and his own political power. And it's not that big of a deal if he loses. At least he tried.
For anybody that's watched Joe Biden his whole life, not just, you know, post-dementia here, his whole life, he has been an arrogant jackass. And that's what we've been saying for 6 months on our podcast and Spaces, is that he's not going anywhere. There is no plans for him to go anywhere. And now they have circled the wagons up there with Jill on one side and crackhead son Hunter on the other. And they are the palace guards, not letting anybody in his ear, not letting anybody manipulate him. He's manipulating him. He is staying in this race.
And John Tester just put out a statement yesterday, a prepared statement, where he said he is still basically standing with Joe Biden. Here's Joe in his own words.
And if you stay in and Trump is elected and everything you're warning about comes to pass, how will you feel in January?
I feel as long as I gave it my all and I did the goodest job as I know I can do. That's what this is about.
Now, the entire thesis of the campaign, was democracy is on the ballot. And when George Stephanopoulos asked him, well, if you lose and all these bad things come to pass, will you be okay with that? And he said, well, as long as we gave it our all. Now, if I was a Democrat who's been hasn't blinked since January of 2017 or one of these never Trumpers who's worried about all this, and I heard Joe Biden admit that it's all just a facade, that it's all just a talking point, I would be freaked out right now to find out there's no animating issue for this campaign. It's just a grift.
No, Scott Jennings was exactly right. And Joe Biden just admitted that there in his own words. what I was saying.
You remember old man Mandelbaum from Seinfeld? You know, put up your duke, Sonny. It's go time. Remember? Boy Bridges was playing the old man. That's you listen to Biden's voice right there. As long as I just give it my best, it'll be fine. That's a vigorous, vibrant young president right there.
It also reminds people of after the debate, when even though Joe Biden had a cold and was really sick, he goes to Waffle House. And remember when Jill Biden...
Give it to everybody.
And Jill Biden, super spreader. Jill says to him, you did good, Joe. You answered all
Hercules,
the
Hercules,
questions.
Hercules.
I gave it my all. I tried. Oh, my goodness. It's not a T-ball game. We are on the brink of World War III, folks, for goodness sakes.
We're on the first base.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. We've got Al in Bozeman next up. Al, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. Let me ask you, what kind of a government do we have anymore? I mean, this is a joke. It is literally a joke. We have a non-existent southern border. We've got millions of people coming across, unvetted, unvaccinated, un-everything. They're all Democrats on arrival. We know what the hell's going on. They know what the hell's going on. But our Republicans are sitting around like, hey, it's all good. We don't want to really rule. We just want all the trappings of power and all the benefits. But you clowns are best left to fend for yourselves. We're trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars into debt. Our military is in disarray. Our missiles are old. We haven't done anything to our nuclear fleet for probably, 30 years now? And we've got two countries, Russia and China, that are hell-bent towards achieving a nuclear hegemony on the face of the earth. They think they can win a nuclear war. And guess what? If they dig deep enough, smart enough, and strong enough, they might be able to. So I'm asking you is what are we getting for our tax dollars anymore?
Well, yeah, great question. What kind of government is this right now? Was it Mark Levin who called it a gangster government? Mm-hmm. Was that Mark Levin? I can't remember. Yeah, and it does seem like a gangster government right now, which ties in with a message I got from Gru. This is Gru in Kalispell, sent me this email yesterday afternoon. If Joe Biden drops out of the race, it probably shuts down all of the Biden family businesses as there is no more commodity influence to sell. I can see where the Biden family, you know, would hold back as long as possible. They're basically, they've got a hostage negotiation right now. They've already got the delegates. They've already got the campaign cash. They can just sit back and say, oh, yeah, you want this? Tell us what your offer is. Tell us what you're going to do for the big guy. Tell us what you're going to do for Hunter.
Yeah, and you see, like I said, you see all these alleged experts out here on Twitter, conservative accounts with millions of followers out there telling everybody that Joe's going to drop out, that he's not going to be the nominee. I've been seeing this, them saying this for 6 months, and I'm telling you right now, it ain't going to happen. Just because I've watched Joe Biden for his whole career, or most of it, and I'm listening to what he's saying right now, and I'm listening to what Jill's saying, and I'm watching Hunter Biden, it ain't gonna happen. Y'all put Grandpa up in the cockpit. You gave him the keys to the plane. He's gonna fly it right into the mountain. Sorry, just step up and take a big bite, guys.
It's already, look at what's going on in our country, what's going on around the world. It's already, we've had, multiple crashes already. The just question is, when are we really gonna see some craziness, especially given all the terrorists that have been crossing our southern border and more. Let's go to Jim in Bozeman next up on the phone lines. Jim, what's going on?
Hey, I was just wondering if you guys could remind everybody of the order of succession. Let's say Biden unlikely steps down, but more likely is just flat out removed. Kamala becomes VP. Who falls in behind that, becomes the new VP, and kind of that order of who's going to be taking over?
Oh, yeah, because, well, they keep talking about the 25th Amendment, right? But the reason why they don't want to invoke the 25th Amendment is because then that would put Kamala Harris in charge, right? Yeah. What does that say about Kamala Harris? That no matter how bad Joe Biden is right now, like Whoopi Goldberg said earlier in the hour, they have to stick with him because they feel like Kamala Harris is even worse.
Yeah, and she was. You remember, here she is. You thought she was going to be the next star. She was the Obama's protege. She's attractive black female. You thought she was going to be the next rising star. She gets out here in those presidential primaries back in 2020. She's getting 3% or less of the vote out there. Just crash and burn. And now you've seen her actual performance as VP, where she is just this perpetual word salad of nothingness, bubble-headed, kind of a moron. And yeah, they don't want her. They sure as heck don't want her.
All right, let's see, John, what else you got scribbled down for stuff you want to talk about here this morning? I know I keep throwing stuff at you here, but I'm sure you came prepared with stuff to talk about.
Well, it just floors me, like we were saying a minute ago, this breaking news of the Democrats coming out of their caucus meeting, where you would have thought, seeing all the calls that have been made, this would have been where Hakeem Jeffries and the other leadership would have cracked the whip on these guys and said, you will go out here with, you know, we will take care of our problems internally, but you will go out here with a unified message. And they just walked out again right to the media and let everybody know that they ain't on board with Grandpa Joe. It doesn't seem like the rebellion has been quashed yet.
Yeah, and it is interesting that did you read anything? Was Tester in on that meeting, or did he stay the heck away from that? Because he went into hiding for several days after the disastrous debate, didn't want to say anything, and he puts out this weak sauce statement yesterday where he still basically says that he still stands with Joe Biden. That's the real takeaway from this statement from Liberal Senator John Tester.
Well, yeah, like you said, I think the last week ago, you know, the hiding place that you have to have for John Tester is not your normal place. It's going to have to be a very, very, you're talking maybe 500 square feet to get that man into a hiding place. You know, but yeah, I didn't see him coming out talking or saying anything.
I think Jim and Bozeman asked another question. Okay, so if they were to invoke the 25th Amendment, the vice president becomes the president, who then becomes the vice president. If I'm not mistaken, ConstitutionCenter.org, whenever there is a vacancy in the office of the president shall nominate a vice president who shall take office upon confirmation by a majority vote of both houses of Congress. So that's how that would work. But
bingo.
They don't want to invoke it because they don't want Kamala. They think she'd be even worse than old Joe.